You're listening to the Philly Maker Faire podcast. My name is Laura Chanot.
And I am Valerie Chiguendo.
And I'm Jeremy DePrisco.
We're here celebrating the creators, builders, inventors, and artists that bring their visions to life at the Philly Maker Faire.
This week, we're talking with David Rao from Trellis for Tomorrow.
Trellis for Tomorrow delivers programs in organic gardening, environmental education, and food security that provide practical life skills for youth and adults. Welcome, David.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's a pleasure to have you.
Yes, we're excited. What do you do at Trellis for Tomorrow?
So my role is I'm the senior programs director with Trellis for Tomorrow. I've been there for about 7 years. And over that time, I've been deeply involved in the programs that we deliver throughout the region.
And can you tell us a little bit more about one of those programs, like, or a few of those programs? Let's get into it.
Really, great question. So as you said, Trellis for Tomorrow is a nonprofit organization based out of Phoenixville. And we do these programs that engage youth and adults in community building and largely in food security. So there's two programs I can tell you about, two among many, but these are our two flagships. The first is called Food for All. And we started this program in 2012. And the Food for All program builds organic gardens throughout the region. We have new partners every year. Right now, we've got about 20 garden partners throughout the region, and we work with volunteers at those locations to manage organic gardens and grow food for people that need it in our community. So that program grows about 30 to 40,000 pounds of organic produce every year, and we work with 45 partnering agencies to get that food to people that need it. So food pantries and food banks, we have partnerships throughout the region. And in the meantime, lots of people are learning how to be organic gardeners and sort of reevaluate their relationship with food and where their food comes from. It's really, really neat.
Cool.
That is actually really, really neat.
So that's the Food for All program. And then we have a similar program that is really aimed at young people. And that is called the SEED program. And SEED stands for Student Enterprises and Environmental Discovery. And what we do in that program is kind of similar. We create organic gardens, but in this case, we create these organic gardens in the communities where the young people live. And we do summer programming that engages them to learn how to manage those gardens and start businesses with the produce that they grow. And we have a model called a dignified exchange model. And what that means is the young people learn how to run a business. They learn how to manage the garden. And then they engage their community to pay what the community can for the produce. So everybody pays. Nobody's getting it for free. So the youth are learning some business skills. And the community is recognizing that there's a value to this, even if it's only a dollar for 10 pounds of food. Everybody pays something and everybody gets something out of that exchange, which is a much more dignified exchange than just kind of growing and giving it away. So we have about 60 kids this summer that are going to be running five different garden sites in Pottstown, Spring City, Royers Ford, and Phoenixville. That's also a very cool program that we're very proud of.
Wow. I love that.
I was looking at your website and I remembered visiting one of your partner sites, the Salvation Army Croc Center. I remember going there. I used to be a member there. So I remember going there, visiting the garden, taking a tour. I was like, oh my goodness. I told my mom, I was like, you have to see this place. It was just impressive how much, what impressed me really was how much community involvement, used and running the garden and everything. So, you know, in looking at your website, I'm like, okay, awesome. Like I didn't really know about the Food for All program and all of that. So this is great. Nice.
I'm so glad that you said that because, you know, one of the things that we've started to recognize, especially in the last several years, is that these gardens are not just a place where incredibly delicious, nutrient-dense organic food is growing. These are also places where community is growing. And we are seeing it happen all over the place where we engage with the community. People are coming together. People are tapping into skills they didn't know they had or sharpening ones that they did. and they're growing closer in relationship with each other and with the greater community. And we just love to see that.
Yeah, it's impressive.
It's powerful. And it's also, I mean, in general, young people love to see the fruits of their labor. And, you know, I'm using that word, you know, I do it more from an artistic group, but, you know, you get to do it more directly, like plant the seed, grow the seed. Like it's really visual. It's really physical. And I think sometimes we get a little distance from that, you know, like, especially lately, these guys all know I'm really into my analog and technical world going hand in hand. So I love the getting in the dirt. So you guys do a lot of organic. How did you get started in the organic gardening sort of realm personally?
Oh, yeah. So personally, my first really solid introduction into agriculture and organic agriculture was in a couple of places. I was doing some international relief work in Peru, and someone taught me the basics of planting stuff in the ground and watching it grow. And it was such a transformational experience to watch a seed, this dormant thing just waiting for the right circumstances to be unlocked and to grow into something that gives back. It just changed me. And when I came back to the States, I had the incredible opportunity of working with a community of recovering addicts in North Philadelphia. And during my service there, I helped manage an organic garden in North Philadelphia. And so I got to see sort of how an organic garden and how nutrient dense food can change a local community. And from there, I was invited to work in a much more sort of large and substantial organic agricultural space. So I've worked on large farms in Massachusetts, and I own my own farm and have my own tea business. So I've been in the space for about 15 years, but I am really deeply passionate about organic agriculture and about the need we have to reevaluate our food system. So it's a personal passion for me.
Cool. Nice. So then how did you first get involved with Trellis for Tomorrow?
That is another great question. So my deep background is actually in ministry. And during my 20s, I was doing ministry and social work before I got into organic agriculture. And my wife and I came back to the Philadelphia region after I was farming in Massachusetts. And we started our own farm and our own tea business off of our farm in just outside of Pottstown. And she came across an ad for a seasonal job position as a farm educator for a nonprofit. And she saw this and just said, you've got to do this. Like, this is you. So it was 5 weeks of summer and I was like, all right, I'll take a look at it. And I ended up becoming the farm educator for Trellis for some youth that were doing another program at the farms that we were then working with. And I just fell in love with the work. And after a couple seasons of doing that in the summer, they asked me to come on full time. And I thoughtfully said yes. I've been 5 years of absolutely flat out being a part of such an incredible organization and watching it grow. So yeah, so that's kind of how I got involved.
What do you enjoy? I know you enjoy it. It's passionate. Yeah, I can tell. It's like, can you talk more about, you know, why you enjoy what you do? Sounds like you sound very busy. So you have the farm and the tea business and then Trellis for Tomorrow. You must enjoy it.
I do. Yeah, we definitely have a lot of things. I like to say we have a lot of things growing on. That's you'll have to forget low-hanging fruit in the agricultural space for really bad puns. So don't turn up your nose at it. So what do I enjoy about it? You know, I think that the simplest way to answer it, and then I'd like to unpack it if it's all right with you. The simplest way to put it is that I love being a part of watching things grow and things kind of emerge from, like I said, that dormancy to some new life and new fruitfulness. And that can happen in a garden and it happens all the time. So that's extremely rewarding. But what we're seeing now at Trellis for Tomorrow is we're seeing young people come in at 13 and 14 years old and catch the enthusiasm around their own agency and their own ability to make a difference in the world. and stick around and become leaders in our program and want to influence others in their community. And they're becoming peer mentors to other 13 and 14 year olds. So we're seeing, you know, now 15, 16, 17 and 18 year olds really invested in changing their community and being a difference, having a difference in the world. So the more we do this work, and this happens with adults too, I'll have to add that there's a lot of change happening in the gardens that our adult participants manage, but watching people grow in new ways is extremely satisfying for me. And as we grow in our effectiveness and our work in the community, we see more and more of that. And that's probably the most rewarding thing that I get to witness and participate in.
That's awesome. So the summer program, this is probably a selfish question. Do you have any in Philadelphia, or is it mostly outside of the Philadelphia area?
Yeah, so we do
trying to get your kids in the dirt.
That's right. We have I think at this point we've got about 6 or 7 partners in Philadelphia proper or just like in that area. And you mentioned one of them, the Kroc Center, is absolutely phenomenal. And now that we've really kind of built the model, more and more we're looking for opportunities to work with our partners in Philadelphia to sort of drop some of this programming in place that we've been developing over the last few years. So we do have gardens in Philadelphia, and some of them do have opportunities for young people to get involved. And we're actively looking for, you know, more partnerships in that space so that we can do this kind of programming throughout the region. Right now we work in 5 counties. So we do have gardens sort of like all over the place. But wherever there's like a good fit for us to offer this type of programming for young people, I think that's kind of what you're aiming at. We're all for it. So the Kroc Center is a good example. We're talking with them about doing some youth programming there. And we have a really neat internship program for young people where we basically find funding through donors, incredible donors that might be listening to this this podcast or you know, foundations that will give us grants for doing what we do, to give young people paid internships that we help arrange. And the Kroc Center is another example of someone that we might partner with to kind of get some interns placed there. So the short answer is yes. Mm-hmm. I know you, I'm not being very concise, but yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I think that's very helpful. And it also sounds to me like you might need volunteers to lead some of those programs.
There's always a need. And, you know, we really encourage people to know that there's a place for them within Trellis for Tomorrow to bring either their time, their talent, or their treasure to be a part of what I feel like is a pretty significant movement in our area. It's not just a volunteer opportunity, but you're really doing something to make a difference in our world. Someone once said the fields are white with harvest, you know, like all around us. It's the time. The time is now, and there's a really good opportunities to make a difference. And we would invite people to get involved for sure.
Especially in the spring, it's time to plant stuff.
Yeah.
If the weather would agree that it's spring as well. Not so sure.
Snowed yesterday.
Yeah. I'm still wearing extra layers. But so how have people responded? It sounds like there's been a pretty good response, and you did touch on that, but maybe extrapolate that, the response from the communities, maybe a specific success story that you're particularly proud of.
Absolutely. It's hard to kind of limit myself to only one example, but I'll do my best. One example that comes to mind, we have a garden that we've been partnering with Drexel University. And this garden is situated at the Dornsife Center, which is right near the zoo, basically. And that garden had been run by student leaders for many years in partnership with us. And that club dissipated, and the garden kind of didn't fall by the wayside, but it was like kind of lost its way for a minute. And one of the students from Drexel was walking by one day and asked what was going on there and if she could get involved. And we started working together with her. And if she's listening, I can tell it seems like she's single-handedly, but we worked really closely with her to resurrect that club. And We were just there 2 weeks ago for what we call a homegrown hero giveaway. It's something that came about as a result of the pandemic, where we were equipping home gardeners with everything they need to grow a small garden at home. So we were giving away seedlings and grow bags and instructions and seeds. And there was at least 100 people showed up there that day to kind of engage and to learn. And it was so much fun to see people coming back out, especially after the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So that's one example of, I think, a success story where people are feeling more connected and more engaged, especially in that community, in the sort of the Mantua area in West Philadelphia. Another great success story is our partnership with Bethel AME Church in Ardmore. They started a Victory Garden campaign during the pandemic, and they have hundreds of people that are connected with that garden, which has been incredibly successful. And the pastor there, Reverend Carolyn Cavanis, has just been doing incredible things throughout the area. And we are so thrilled to be in partnership with her and the work that she's doing. And then finally, as I already talked about the youth program, but that is really expanded. We piloted that program in 2017, and since then it's almost doubled in size every year. So we've really seen a tremendous amount of interest and growth in the places that we're working, which is really satisfying.
Cool.
That was a good example. Those were good examples.
I know.
I'm like, oh, that's cool. I want to visit those gardens.
Yes. And it's amazing the impact. Like I was looking at, you've made several tons of food. Like if you look at how much produce has gone out into the communities, it's just mind-boggling. The impact and the amount of people that are involved in it,
it never ceases to amaze. And there's some people that are real bean counters, and they really love chasing the pounds, and we encourage that. And there's some healthy competition that happens sometimes within gardens and between gardens. Like they want to outdo the other gardens in the network, and that's fine. But just to see people coming together and learning something new about themselves and feeling like they have, again, that sense of agency, that they have some ability to have some positive change in the world. You know, there's so many big problems. And if you just spend your time watching the news, it can be so discouraging and so disheartening. And like you were talking about the weather, it's like, to watch these weather swings, even in our area, or to watch the news about what's going on out west, to the climate out there, it can get really easy just to go, there's nowhere that I can make any kind of significant difference. And to see people coming together, even in small spaces like a garden, and realize, actually, I can be a part of something bigger than myself, and I can be a part of something that means something to someone else in my community. And that makes me feel good. That makes me feel like I'm a part of the solution. That is extremely meaningful. Mm-hmm. And so, in addition to all those pounds of food, to see people feeling like they've got those new connections, that they're a part of something significant, is also a big part of the reason that we do what we do here at Trellis.
Yeah, there's a big number. And, back to my selfish question, I know my son, he'll be one of the many, many kids who are they care about the planet and and climate change. But I know him at 13 right now feels like, oh, there's nothing we can do. But teaching kids like that, listen, just planting one thing in your garden makes, it's a difference. It's something you're doing, and it all counts for something. That's a valuable lesson.
100%. I would challenge anybody with this statement that I'm about to make, but learning how to grow food and having a healthy, positive relationship with the soil and knowing how to grow food, that is a 21st century skill. It is something that people will need to know in the time ahead. So when we work with these young people, they want to be coders and they want to be, they want to be gamers and they want to do all these things. That's all wonderful. Or musicians or athletes. And we support all of that. But we also realize that in addition to just that sense of agency and connection to their community, just having a better relationship with where your food comes from and re-examining where we get our food from is something that we need in the decades to come.
I can definitely relate to that statement because I used to have a very large home garden for myself with hot peppers and different things. And that was, it started as a way to just get off the computer and get some exercise and get outside. And it turned into an entirely separate hobby of mine. And when I moved to the city, I really didn't have that sort of outlet. And I noticed a big change in, you know, in just interacting with nature, how that is important for people. And so I'm looking forward to doing more this year since we have some more space now.
But so yeah. You lost out on all the salsa.
I lost out on all the salsa for a while. But yeah, it's just, I just have a personal experience with that. And it is something that has brought me to meet new people and brought community. And where I was from, Central Pennsylvania, we always had local flea markets that were attached to the local farms. And that was just a way of life to, on Saturday, go down to the market and see what they have. And it's good to see that that happens in the city too, through organizations like yours.
Oh, thank you. And I'm so glad to hear that you're going to be getting back into it. Cause I can attest not just the community benefit, but that mental health benefit of getting out that green space can have on us. We need it. And I think that we're too disconnected from it. I wanted to say one other thing. I know no one prompted me with a question, but I just want to say this, that, you know, there's a real, a lot of folks with a few more years under their belt, or however you want to say it, like a few more years on this incredible planet that we share, have, you know, in their background, like in some places, like those deep recesses, they've got some knowledge of growing food from when they were growing up. We live in a very interesting time where, like, if we can tap into that incredible knowledge and span this divide, there can be a really important transfer of that understanding and that knowledge. And people can kind of get back into it while they pass that knowledge on to this up and coming generation. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, I think we're running the risk of really losing that knowledge, because just in the span of, you know, the last 150 years, 150 years ago, everybody ate organic and everybody ate local, and sugary foods and highly processed foods were available, but they were usually reserved for people that could afford them, and they were kind of scarce. In 150 years, that is completely reversed. We now have a glut of highly processed sugary foods available everywhere. And the organic local food is usually reserved for the people that can afford it. And we can change that if we think about, you know, growing in urban environments and getting back to the soil and thinking about our connection to food and where our food comes from. We can change that narrative if we decide to do it together.
Definitely.
Yeah. And it seems like food deserts are an important part of that conversation, because we're seeing places where folks just don't have access to fresh foods. And so they're getting only the processed options. So
exactly right.
Being able to sort of flip that over makes a huge difference for a lot of people.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Laura. I'm so glad that you said that too, because, you know, I think food deserts is a term that we're hearing a lot. And I think it's appropriate in a lot of ways when you think about sort of the scarcity of a desert. But some have noted, and I would agree with them, that, you know, a desert is a naturally occurring phenomenon. Whereas some of what we're seeing in our food system is the result of a system that has created inequities. And so some people have used the terminology of food apartheid. And I think that is, like, very thought provoking. And I would tend to agree with that, but I'm really glad that you pointed that out and brought it up, because it is a real feature in our landscape and another one that we can do something about if we decide to.
Yeah. You know, since I'm an artist, I always live in the poorer neighborhoods. And so, you know, in times where I haven't had access to a vehicle, you know, it's strikingly different, the access to food, depending on where you live. And so, you know, it's something that I like food apartheid, because it is sort of systemic instead of just being something naturally occurring. I like that change in language. Language is powerful. So I get that better connotation for what you're trying to express.
So just changing directions a little bit, how would you spend an ideal day?
Oh, Lord. Today is a fairly ideal day. It's a gorgeous day. And right now, me and my team are installing a new garden for one of our longstanding partners. They've been a partner for 10 years, and their garden has been overdue for a rebuild. And this year, Trellis, in response, I feel like for the last few years, we've been pivoting constantly in response to a changing landscape. But we pivoted this year away from some of the traditional materials that we use to build our raised beds because of supply chain issues around the lumber that we typically use. And we came up with a new design that we found others that have done it. And we came up with this like resilient bed model that uses some corrugated roofing material. And these beds will last decades. So we're really excited to be building it today. But we're basically installing a new garden and knowing that this is going to serve this partner in this community for quite a while in the years to come. But so I'm very happy today. This is kind of an ideal day because I get a lot of time outside. I would say for me, an ideal day starts off with the greenhouse, making sure our young plants are doing well, and then getting out into the community and working with our partners, and then just kind of checking in with my incredible team and maybe hearing back from some of our partners of what they're doing to, like I said, make a difference in their community. Mm-hmm.
You know, another question I wonder about is, so your ideal day, you're out in the field, in the farms, building and helping the community. I wonder, like, as you're saying that, I wondered if what opportunities you have to learn as well. And I think that segues into my other question about if you have anything you would like to ask, you know, our community of listeners and makers and anything you need that they could answer for you.
If I had a question, it would be a little bit more of an existential question of sort of like, what can you do in this space? Where do you feel like the opening is for you to potentially cultivate your connection with this incredible world that we share, or get out and be a part of helping something new grow, whether that's actually in the soil or in yourself or in someone else? How can you be a part of this mission that we feel like Trellis shares with more than just ourselves, of helping people grow in new ways? How can you be a part of that? I would just kind of ask all of us, including myself, to reflect on that. Like, what are the ways that I need to grow in new ways? And what are some steps that I can take to get there? But then more practically, I would just say, you know, one of the things that I've learned a lot in the last several years is that not everybody comes to these gardens for the same reasons. For a while, when I first started, I thought my job was to kind of make everybody an organic gardener or get everybody to want to get into this space or to care about these issues as much as I do. And I've really kind of moved away from that. I think that people come to these things for a different reason. And it's not always to be a better gardener or to even garden at all. Some people get connected because they feel like they belong and they have something to offer to further what's happening in that space. And it's really changed the way that I think about what we do. You know, I know that some of your listeners are, you know, there's a lot of creators and makers and a lot of people that are already doing a lot within this kind of area, or their own area for that matter. And the one thing I would say, just kind of to kind of close that thought out, is that, you know, your creativity, the things that you do to enhance this life that we share and this planet, this incredible creation that we all share, you know, we've been thinking about how can that enhance some of these garden spaces to make them more mindful or to make them more engaging or to make them more inviting. And so, you know, we're kind of strategizing about how can we engage people on multiple levels in these gardens and not just, you know, grow bigger potatoes or whatever. So nice. We do more than just potatoes, but I think that, you know, using your creative forces to invite people into and to enhance the spaces that we share is part of the challenge too.
I love the way that you put that, because I've done a lot of mentorship and teaching of folks in different ways. And I remember one of the first mentorships I had, it was a one-on-one photo program. And I kept thinking, that's not how I would teach the photography. They're not going to learn it this way. And it took me about half of that first year to realize it's nothing really about the photography. It's about the relationships. And it's about that building up that confidence in each other and sort of helping each other grow. And it was sort of like a mind switch for me. And it's one of the reasons why I'm really focused on trying to, like, you know, bring photography to people and bring bookbinding to people. So it's nice to see that same sort of vision is true kind of all around. Like, it's way more about the relationship than the actual thing in the dirt.
I couldn't have said it better myself, and I'm so glad you did. Thanks, Lauren. That's great.
And then you sort of touched on this, getting involved and participating, but if folks want to participate in Trellis for Tomorrow specifically, how would they get involved?
Great question. I think the first step would be to visit our site at trellisfortomorrow.org or to follow us on social. That's a great way just to kind of know what's going on. I had said before that there's opportunities for people to share their time, talent, or treasure. And so there's opportunities to volunteer. There's opportunities for people to use those skills that they have that are unique. We have needs for, you know, video production. We have needs for social media assistance. We have needs for all the things that you can imagine a movement or a growing organization has. There's a role for that. So if you have a talent that you think you could share, check us out. And then of course there's the treasure piece. If you've got some money laying around, or if you have some interest in investing in this kind of change, there's some opportunity as well for that. And then finally, I would just say, you know, either as partners or participants, there's some space as well. So if you think your church or your business or your school or your community group or your faith-based group or whatever would be a good spot for one of our gardens, reach out and talk to us. If you are interested in getting involved in an existing garden, or if you are interested, as I've heard some questions already about, where are your youth programs and can I send all of my kids there, or, you know, or can I sign up for it myself? There's always, there's some space for participants and partners always in our space. But other than that, I would just say, check out our website and reach out.
Well, thank you so much, David, for joining us today. This has been a really great conversation, and it's really exciting to hear about what you're doing.
And get back to growing food.
Thank you for listening to the Philly Make a Prayer podcast. We're streaming on all platforms, so join us each week. Learn more about today's podcast at phillymakeaprayer.com.
We're social, so keep in touch. You can find us on Twitter as PHLMake.
Also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and Pinterest as Philly Make a Prayer, all one word. And be sure to hit the subscribe button for future podcasts.
See you next week.
The opinions expressed by the guests of the Philly Make a Prayer podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the hosts or producers. If you enjoy the Philly Make a Prayer podcast, please consider making a donation at ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com. Search for JD Maker or go to ko-fi.com/JDMaker/tiers. Your support helps offset the costs of recording, editing, and maintaining the Philly Make a Prayer podcast. Supporters at any of our tiers will receive a shout out on the podcast and via our social network. Thanks.